if I had that gift, I would hope that every day I would be playing at some point. Jan, that is beautiful and a great song. Yeah, those of you who recognize the song, all that I've needed, your hand has provided. I think that's beautiful. Thank you. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19, and you'd be like, Pastor, we were in Matthew chapter 19 last week. Yep, we were, but we're going to cover a few other verses this week. I'm actually going to do similar format as we did last week, is because I feel like the Holy Spirit wants you to catch something, and I don't know how many Christians read their Bible and catch what I'm hoping that you'll get. So I'll share that more with you. But we want to read the first part of this. And if you'll notice, the title here is Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. When you read this, when we read these passages, you'll begin to wonder how to fit that context. Is that the context of these verses? So I'm going to just let you think about that as we read through it. But this is a very powerful and very important teaching that Jesus gave. But I want you to pay attention to the storyline. As we read this, what's actually happening here? What is Jesus dealing with? And I think one of the greatest blocks or the struggles that we have when we talk about the Bible is as if we just created a new rule out of something. Now, I'm not going to say there's not rules in a sense, but I'm going to say this. I think it's when the rule applies would be a better way to put it, and when it doesn't. When the Holy Spirit is requiring this and when He's not. And so too many people just blank face the Bible and say, well, this, every category, every person, every situation fits right here. This is going to be one of the big ones, because as you deal with the world and the culture, you have to pay attention to what Jesus was not saying, along with what He was saying, and why was He saying it. So all of those really important. That's paying attention to the context. If you don't read for the context, you will misread into this something that it's not saying. There's definitely things that you have to go elsewhere in the Bible to get further details. But we're not going to go that far. We're not going to go there. But I just want to talk about this. And this subject is on marriage and divorce. This was Jesus' teaching on the subject. But pay attention to why He started teaching this. It wasn't like really He had a couple or a husband or a wife come to Him and say to Him, Lord, what's your teaching on marriage and divorce and those kinds of things? He actually was being tested. If you'll read that. So I want to take a few minutes to read that, but let me pray first, and then we'll read through that, and then again, we'll take some silent time so you can just soak it in. Soak in what He's saying, and maybe really the Holy Spirit has a special message for each person in this place. So that's why I want you to take the time in to read slowly, focus, and then we'll have some time for discussion. So Lord, we want to thank You for the Holy Spirit to work. And this is one thing that there's probably not a person in this room to some degree hasn't had some influence by which these are questions that have been on our mind. Questions that are not really ultimately and fully answered here, but yet still, Lord, at the root and the core of our hearts, what does Jesus say about this? Today, Lord, we need the anointing. We need the Holy Spirit to highlight the truths that need to come out of this. We need You to highlight the truths that come out of this. We don't even want the hard truths to miss us. And some, Lord, will say, this is going to hit harder. This is going to be more difficult than for others in this room. Some, Lord, that will be listening to this maybe over the internet will be also struggling. And some will say, that's powerful what the Lord is showing me through this. I thank You, Lord, that You have purpose and design for all of us to hear from You today. And would You, Holy Spirit, speak to every heart here in this room. Every heart here would hear You, Lord, and would You give them, if there's a need for a next step, a next place? What do I do with this information as it lies down within my heart? Lord, would you help each one of us take the information in the direction that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit has for us today? And we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is one of those, I would say it would make sense to me if ministers would say, this is a hard one for me to bring out. But really, when you think about it, there seems to be another context I think we overlook. So if you're only looking at the subject of marriage and divorce, then you're probably going to miss where I'm wanting to go with this. But I'm not saying that that's not important, because it's obviously a part of what Jesus was talking about. We can't take away from his words. But there's something very deep and profound here beyond that, and I think we could totally miss that if we're only looking at that part of it. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to see that. I want to read here through verse 10. So 19, we're going to read through verses 1 through verse 10. It says, "And now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And the great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there." So they followed him, and then he decided right in this location he was going to heal them right there. "The Pharisees also came to him, testing him." Pay attention to that. This is what their purpose was. Now, let me just say this. Their design is not ultimately to find out what is God's answer. They have an already preset answer, disposition of mind and thought, and seeing what Jesus is going to do with it. Ultimately, you see them doing that throughout the Bible many times. So, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? They came to him, testing him, saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" Whatever he decides, he can just divorce her. "And he answered and said to them, 'Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female?'" You know, Jesus is like almost like he skipped their question and he went into a more important piece. So I would say you probably want to reread through that one a little bit more and kind of capture some of the nuances here. And verse 5, "And said, 'For this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.'" So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. "Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." Just going to throw this thought in here. Did he answer their question? Not really. Not the way we would expect it. He's like, they're saying, "Is it all right to divorce?" And then he just goes back to, this is the original plan of God, and it's to be joined together. It's to marry, not to divorce. I mean, if you catch, that's what Jesus is like. And let's skip that one. And let's just get on to, here's what marriage, the design of marriage is all about. Sometimes we need to get back to the original mindset of God to answer the question that we're posing in our hearts. If it's to test Jesus, or if it means to be sincere, sometimes, most of the time, God has to take us back to, you need to get the bigger picture of what my original design was before you get the answer. Because some of us just want that analytical, give me a quick answer, give me a flyby so I can know what to do. And you know, I've already begun to discover more and more, if you're really in tune with the Holy Spirit, you're realizing over and over again, whether it's on this question or it's any question concerning life, morality, Bible, spirituality, most of the time, if we answer the question, we're not dealing with the real issue, or really what needs to be said, or what the heart needs to receive. So I think that's why Jesus is doing that, because he's like, you guys, if I give you the black and white answer to this, you're not going to understand really the heart of God in marriage. If you don't get that, you're really not going to understand the divorce aspect either. So verse 7, "Then he said to him, 'Why then did Moses I want you to catch that word command. Why did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and put her away? And then he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. His disciples said to him, if such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry. That brought some sobriety to them. They're like, am I hearing this right, Lord? So those are the verses. I want to give some time for you guys to just go back, reread through those, or just take those verses. You're like, Pastor, when you were saying those verses, that caught my attention. I want to dive into that a little deeper. And before you do, would you just take this time, Holy Spirit, show me what you want me to see. Show me what you want me to see, the thing that you want to penetrate my heart with. Speak to me about that. Lord, show me your word for me today. And it may be completely off the topic of this sermon, but it's the Lord's word for you. I don't want to just preach a sermon. I don't want to just have an audience or a classroom-like setting. I really want you to capture what the Lord is saying to you through this. And you may say, this doesn't fit the criteria of my life. That might be true. But I think for all of us that are married or even been divorced, the reality check is, it's beautiful on both sides what the Lord has to say about this. Because it sucks being on the culture and the world has another thing to say different. Lord, what do you say? Of everything else, even if it's hard for me to hear, what do you say? So I want you to catch some of those. And again, the title to that was Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. You might see how that fits into this as you reread through it. So I'll just give you some time here. Yes.
What do I do? Because that doesn't affect me at all. I don't want anybody in my life.
But you'll find out. So just we'll take a time of quiet. We'll let everybody read through it. No, it does. It actually does in a different way. So you'll catch that here shortly. Yeah, I try to make sure that everybody gets touched in some way, if possible. Very good question, though. And some of you may actually have some other verses that correlate or connect with this. Feel free to look those up and kind of keep your finger there so you can share that also. So I'll take a few comments now. So if you want to, you can continue to read through that. Hopefully we've given you enough space to kind of catch those moments or those parts of the Bible that you're like, I really want to look at this and kind of catch it. So hopefully the Lord's speaking to you as well. Mike, what would you like to share here? It was his disciples that said that, I think. Oh, or are you seeing something else? Yeah. Right.
Then you're in the union for the wrong reason. Mm. I think Jesus is really speaking to the union between man and God.
Right.
Where it's essential we come together, and it's not going to be easy.
Right.
It's going to be a tough thing, but you can't tear this apart.
Yeah, it was the intended mind of God. So when we talk about something like, this. In a sense, it doesn't qualify ultimately in one sense of actually being a question about divorce. And I like how Mike was saying that, because it's really about man creating his own ideas and boundaries around what he feels acceptable. Culture has taught all of these other things. So it's really not even, the mindset behind the question isn't even of the mindset of God in marriage at all. That's why they're like, that's why they don't come to Jesus and say, Lord, what is marriage in God's eyes? They don't even want to know about that in a sense. But I'm going to go to this verse because this is where it comes out of in Deuteronomy. And I'll ask a few more comments here. But this is kind of the verse that they're keying in on, so to speak. And this is why we have to remember that when you take the Bible and you read something here, if you're not careful, you're not rightly dividing it in a way. So when Jesus hears you say, this is what Moses said. And remember, they said, Moses gave us a commandment to divorce. Did he give a command? Well, let's go look in chapter 24 in Deuteronomy, and we'll start here at verse 1. When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, when she has departed from his house and goes and becomes another man's wife. And then he gives further details. So that's not a command. The command is, if you're going to divorce her, give her a certificate. But the command is not to actually divorce. The other piece to it is this, is that, I think I just lost my focus where I was going with that. Maybe it'll come back to me, probably eventually. It's a good thing we all have those things that pop up every now and then. But the idea is, and Jesus answered, he says, because of the hardness of your heart. In other words, there's things that have entered in that have created a hardness that, as long as that hardness is there, even if you stay together, you won't act in the marriage mentality of God in his design for your marriage. So once we start taking on the heartbeat of what this is all about, we realize, oh, this is where I wanted to go with this, is that if we're not careful, we take certain portions of the Bible, and just like they did to Jesus, they said, Moses gave us a command. And Jesus restates what they said in the next verse right behind it. And let's see here. So after verse 7, we look into verse 8, and he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted. He didn't command. He permitted under the circumstances. And in a certain sense, there's more to be said there. But the idea is, you are quoting this, and the mentality of the culture then was this. And, you know, most of what they were trying to catch Jesus in, and they're testing, whenever Jesus gave the answer, it was more strict than their own. But in this one, this was a test of lightness, of it being way more liberal than actually God's intent was. So basically, they're like, and I would say there's probably a good chance that they realize, you know, when it gets to the hard stuff like the Sabbath and some of the other stuff, where Jesus is actually being more liberal than we are in what we believe, let's just try a different approach and do something where we're liberal, see if he's not liberal with it. In other words, the mindset behind it was, if for any reason, any act of unclean, anything in her that displeases you, that there's an obvious permission in our scriptures to be able to divorce her. And that was common in their time. So, and I think that relates very well with what Mike was saying. Very common that, you know, oh, you didn't, I mean, I don't know if it went down to this far, but my food got burned today, or you didn't do my laundry, or some expectation that was not fulfilled. Is it okay for us to divorce under any reason? And they were trying to, hoping, I imagine, Jesus would say, well, yeah, obviously, because it says in Deuteronomy or something like that, and that's not what Jesus did. And so he drove it to the point of strictness rather than there's more liberty here. So like with Sabbath, there was more liberty than what they were permitting. With marriage, there was less liberty in his answer. Julia. Okay.
Jesus knows everything that I've done. Okay, on the surface, this is what she went through. Jesus
No, of course. So there's noticeably, Jesus doesn't cover those nuances in this text. That's why it's really important to read your Bible. But essentially, Jesus is answering for the test. They're testing him, and he's talking to them based on their test. And the test is wrapped around a cultural idea that we could divorce for any reason. Not divorce for the right reason or divorce for, you know, what could be some other nuances with it. Divorce for any reason. Well, let's just wind this down and look at what God's designed was for. And so it's really important to see that aspect here, because what they're doing is using the word of God in a sense, and they're totally going against God's plan and design. How many of us have heard that and seen that 1,000 times? I just see that over and over again. I hear you telling me the Bible verse, and it fits your context, but you're missing the bigger picture here. And noticeably, Jesus doesn't go to Deuteronomy, he goes to Genesis, and he goes back to Genesis chapter 2, and I'll look there real quick because I think that's important to this context. Genesis chapter 2. In verse 24. So we were reading in chapter 24 of Deuteronomy. Now we're in chapter 2, verse 24 in Genesis. It says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother. Actually, I'm going to read a little bit more ahead. In verse 22, so Genesis chapter 2, verse 22. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. I think that sounds more like what Mike was saying. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. They shall become one flesh. So essentially, Ryan, as he was mentioning to us, he's like, how does this apply for somebody who's not married? I say, because it applies in the scriptural reference to how we need to judge rightly and rightly divide the word of truth as the Holy Spirit is dealing with the real nuances and the real issues of life. So most of us go through that reality. Lee. Right.
But it's like there's marriage is that covenant. So like when God, you know, we're accepted as one of God's children, there's that unbreakable bond there. I think that's
good. Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Ultimately the big picture is that. But there's that action of love. Love's not that feeling, it's that sacrificial self. That's what love is, and it's like kind of bring it full circle. It's like Jesus, he was married to us in a way because he is unconditionally loving us.
Right.
The marriage part between the man and the woman is just kind of an echo of what God really is doing with us.
Yeah.
As the body, as his bride is the whole body, but also the individual.
Right.
That's kind of what I think.
Yeah, essentially, when we put pieces together, let's just say on one side, I was either divorced from my wife, and some of you can relate to that, or I was going to get divorced from my wife. Now, that's not happening, but let's just say I was in that ballpark, and sincerely, I'm just talking to the Lord about, what do I do with this? Or if you're on the other side, you're the one whom they're divorcing, and you're on that side, and you're like, I can't stop this from happening. I don't want it to happen. That could be one of the things that you're going through. But then, essentially, there's things that stir in your mind and the conflicts over your own thoughts about what do I do with this and how do I deal with that? And, you know, all of the struggles and nuances that come with that whole idea. And then the Holy Spirit, I could just see this, the Lord doing this to me if I were in that situation, bringing me in and just reminding me of what his original design was. Now, that would address possibly 1,000 different things that have gone awry within me because I got too caught up in the situation and I forgot how God plays his part and role in it. And so for me, one of the things that I could see in it is it could address in a situation of, Well, you know, when it really comes down to it, I haven't really been married to my wife this whole time. Not at heart. Nor did I ever treat it like I was one flesh. It was always competition in my world. And the Holy Spirit, just by renewing in my mind, this is what it's all about, address things that may prevent the divorce, or if it has to happen, it will purify my heart despite, and it'll keep me back and put me in right relationship with God. There's more to it than that, but I think that what we oftentimes, in what we want to do is, and what I see Jesus doing in this, sidetracking the issue that the culture finds itself in and going back to the heart, the mind of God that restores us no matter where we've been. But we miss those. Joe. Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. That's great. I think that's great. The other thing is, we have to remember this. He didn't say, by having a divorce, you've committed adultery. He says, by remarrying, you've committed adultery. Because the marriage that God... Now, we have to realize this. When God put us together, what he designed is for us to become one. That oneness, other than death, or as Jesus says here, sexual immorality, other than those two things, it's still binding upon you. So if you get a divorce and you still have that binding aspect and the reality of the permanence that God designed in marriage, you can't escape the possibility of adultery. You just can't get away from it. Now, can you be forgiven? Can you be redeemed? Yes. That's not, yeah, we're still going to the rest of the Bible. But what we're just trying to say is, what we need to do is stop putting caps or opportunities to go run too quickly into the wrong direction and just keep safeguarding it with what is God's design here? What is he really saying? Because you'll take Deuteronomy out of context if you've forgotten all about Genesis. Jan, I think you had something. Did you want to still share that? Exactly.
And he goes off with somebody else. What happens to the woman that's left? In other words, holding the bag. If she wants to remarry, is she committing adultery?
That's interesting, because here in these verses, and I want to answer that question. Right. And I think that, right. It's a great question, and I think I will get to that. But at the same time, one of the things you notice is that wasn't where Jesus was, like, that wasn't the, that's why I notice oftentimes when we talk about this, we can divert from the original context, which is okay to do, but we have to remember what is the context we're trying to focus on. And what Jesus is trying to do is trying to bring the reality, you're testing me on false grounds. Your test has nothing to do with the sincerity and the attitude for real marriage. So like what you're talking about would be, I would say, would be ideal to, I really want to know what is marriage, what's lawful, what's not lawful, what's right with God, what's not right with God. And essentially the divorce, again, the divorce, if he divorces, if you'll read elsewhere in the Bible, one of the things that Jesus actually says is that to the spouse that divorces the other one, he says, if you've divorced your spouse, then you caused them to commit adultery. In other words, you left them outside of their marriage. Now remember, if the way God designed a marriage was, it was a permanent set, locked in, one flesh, joined union, we become one, and that the what breaks that union is that the only things that basically could break it without it becoming adultery would be death or sexual immorality. Now, there has been people that have derived some other thoughts, but it's hard because when we read our Bibles, we like, there's just not a lot of information telling us how to play this one out well. And so I would say I'm somewhat divided there, but when Jesus makes the statement, in many cases, not necessarily every single one, but in many cases, that when you walk out on your spouse because you just find some reason, I just don't want to be with you. And Jesus says, other than for marital unfaithfulness, if you do that to your spouse, you're going to be causing them to go search for somebody else, and they could be committing adultery, but you would be at fault for it. Now, does that fit every case? I'm not so sure that I could say that. I'm just saying there's obviously some Bible verses where Jesus addresses that, in at least in certain instances, and it's really important. Now, when somebody says to me, Pastor, what do we do with that? I'd be like, tread carefully, but seek to honor the Lord and where he has for you in life. Is it possible to remarry and not be in sin? I think that's the bigger question. If I've committed adultery somehow, and now I'm in that marriage union, am I now considered solidly an adulterer from then on? And those are the questions we would be asking. Those are not the questions I'm addressing. I know you want me to. Like, what are you going to say about that? But I'm not going to address it in the moment because I could see this being a lot longer than where we're at. But what I would say is, and I think this would make all the difference for most of us, is let's go back to the Genesis revelation. And what is the Holy Spirit saying to that through me, no matter what side of this I'm on? If I'm divorced, going to be divorced, or married faithfully, love my marriage. Because in some sense, like for me, I realize powerful to be on the side of having a great marriage, and you've had, like Pastor John was married to Sandy for 62 years, and you have this long living legacy. And on the other side of that, they're like, we've learned to go through the struggles, like Mike was saying. So many people want to introduce the idea because the road gets rough, we get to make some changes in the course. And that's not going to be damaging. Either the innocence is not going to be victimized by it, or I can have all the freedom I want and I get forgiveness card in order to get that. And that's the issues that we face more and more, as if Jesus is giving, by any commandment, he's giving too much liberty or pushing people down beyond what God can do. Like, we need to remember that the redemptive power of God is in this, but also remember there's not license to go do whatever you want because there's redemption involved in it. All of those really important. Yes? Exactly.
Trying to figure out, hey, this is what our hearts want. So we figured out a way to get that. And almost like we're gonna defend that and see if you have anything against that. And I do that. Even as a Christian, I can come to the Lord. I know the Bible says this, but in my Christian culture or my American culture that I think is good and right and there's nothing wrong with, when I read a scripture that challenges
That's
how
a very
feel.
Good, yeah, absolutely.
And kind of challenging Jesus in that conviction,
right,
instead of letting it go and asking, coming to him with an honest heart to want to know.
Yeah. Yeah, when you read the Bible, you'll see that it's like the Lord gives rules in some sense, and he takes the rules away in another. Like, what in the world am I supposed to do with this? Because what you realize, most people are sitting on the side, either the wrong side of grace or the wrong side of the law. Like, this is the... So a lot of people are like, I get to use my liberties to do everything God doesn't want me to do. I don't have to listen to the Holy Spirit. I don't have to follow in the line of obedience because I got permission to do that. That's what the blood and the forgiveness and the grace of God is all about. Well, the Lord has balance, checks and balances for whoever's on what side of that whole thing. And so this is a check and a balance for the Pharisees. And those who are in this moment are like, oh, are we really going to be able to use this as an advantage against Jesus? And I love how Jesus always seemed to catch what's really going on here. What's really going on? Because you're not getting that past God. Well, I've got a law, so the Lord doesn't have to look at my heart. No, he gets to see what's really going on there. So here's another reason I want to say this, is because if we're talking about, go back to the original design, Genesis, you have been divorced. And I'll just put myself in there. Let's just say I've been divorced in my life, and I'm thinking about remarriage. If you don't get back to the original design, that one's not going to go well either. Right? That's the problem, is no matter what side you get on this, if you don't accept God's design, so, you know, half of the problem is this. We think that as long as there's somebody in the culture that I can get married to, I can get married to anybody. But again, are you a believer? Have you been brought out of darkness into light? Have you been gone through regeneration? Because the gap is narrowed for you, right? Somebody else has to fit that gap for me to be able to be rightly connected to and bonded to. So here's one of the things the Lord has showed me for marriage is this, and I think this is really important. Some people are going to come to me as a pastor, and they're going to say, Pastor, would you marry us? And I would be on the other side of that feeling the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, in some instances, saying, don't you dare. But Lord, they're sleeping together. They're doing things together they're not supposed to be. Uh-huh. But they're not designed or fitted for covenant union. You're just helping them run toward divorce. It's a matter of time. You need to be teaching covenant union under God. That's what needs to be. And if you're not seeing that, I'm not telling you you have to perform weddings just because somebody wants to. And so long, I've grown up in the church, well, not grown up, but since I was a teenager, and more I would see somebody, they'd see some couple come into the church, and they would see, like, they're together, but they're not married. So our first objective is to get them into counseling and get them married. Not necessarily. So what I've realized is, yes, there's been a sin there, but what we're looking for is the longevity of a lifetime marriage. And that's why when we go back to this and we see they're trying to catch him, sometimes we do that, like, Lord, will you give me the permission? Well, just go back and ask yourself the questions, all the criteria that you're hoping, licenses or even like, you know, here's what I can go tell my spouse to make you stay faithful to me, right? We can do all those things. Look at what I've got for you. And what I've found is this, is that I can legalize, and you can do this with your own kids. We've found that in times where we try to control somebody and manipulate them into, here's what the Bible says, now obey. The problem is if they're not in tune with the Spirit, they'll never fully or truly obey any part of the Bible, not ultimately. And they're certainly not in tune with God. So that's why we have to be really careful that we slow down, stop back, and we say, okay, every situation needs the Lord's guidance in. I don't have a layer like, Jan's question is great. It's like, I don't have a layer answer for every situation because I've found that there are different nuances that fit different portions of what the Lord has said and ways that the Lord would speak to us. But primarily what we're seeing is a culture gone awry, go so astray, we see such wokeness and craziness all around us that people are looking for any reason that they can to do whatever they want and however they want. And that fits like what Mike was saying is, because when we really think about it is, marriage is going to get really uncomfortable at some point. I mean, as we get older and then we have to take care of one another, or one of us has to, and the other one is on the other side of that, and sometimes you're not physically, it's not pleasant. It's brutal, to be honest. But the reality is that we were married and committed to one another for life until death do us part. Now, if you're on the other side of this and saying, Pastor, what do I do if I've been in the divorce realm, that's why this is a hard one. Because we realize people need to hear, what is God's answer for me? And I tell you, I haven't covered that today. Let me just be honest. I haven't covered that today. So if you're going away feeling like I told you that you were in the wrong or anything like that, you didn't hear me, because I'm not covering that. I can't tell you exactly until each person either approaches me. And what I would say is, first and foremost, talk to the Lord and open up this book and say, Lord, what do you want to show me here? What applies? What doesn't apply? Because I've found too many times where I find one verse, and when I look at that verse, I'm like, okay, so I guess this one, no, compare it to all the other things that the Lord has for us. But we got to be buried in, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Because for some, there may be leverage point. I can't be absolutely honest. To be absolutely honest, I can't be for sure that who has the leverage points for a remarriage or not. But I would say probably in many of us, we wouldn't be fit for it until we grafted into the Lord's purpose and design here. And so if that were the case, and there could be a second marriage and stay in covenant the way God designed, there might be options for that, right? One thing I would say is, for those who have been divorced and remarried, I don't see any place that the Lord tells us, get out of that marriage and run away. Honor it. Right? Honor it. Find your way to live the way God intended for you to do. Because otherwise, it's just a repeat of the problem you just occurred. Mike.
So, I would like to address just kind of a 50,000 foot, view of marriage. And
yeah.
That would be, if you are choosing your partner based on a rule and not a relationship with Jesus Christ,
right,
you're already on shaky ground.
Exactly.
That is the
Yeah.
And if you're in relationship, you may be Hosea, where God is saying, please marry that prostitute.
Hmm.
It doesn't matter what rules say. This
exactly.
is the living word that was given to people 2,000 years ago, not to you. Now, we can certainly use this as Holy Scripture. It can certainly apply to our life. Absolutely. You're going to hear, depart from me, I never
right.
knew you.
Right.
If you look at the list, you might as well add, I married a Christian, or I was devoted to my wife. I saw people in prison and fed the hungry and clothed the naked. You could say, infinitum, all the different things you could do, you're still not making it because you don't have that relationship.
Yeah.
You need to
right.
hear from the Lord.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think that's really important, is what Mike is saying, is that I cannot blanket statement one thing over it, because the issue is not, is if to say, let's just go over the crowd and just pick the ones that have been divorced and the ones who are married, and say the ones who are married on the right side of this whole thing, because we've got a rule that protects you, but the ones who are divorced, we don't have anything for you because you're on the wrong side. And the reality is just like Mike said, the relationship with God and the redemptive work of Christ in our life is where we're supposed to go with this. That's where we end with it. Every sermon ends on, where is Christ in this, and are you walking in relationship to Him? Because as Mike said, you can be married, and you can be married faithfully, and you can still not be anywhere close to where God wants you to be. I like that. That's a great observation. Very, very good. Yeah.
For the rest of you who are in mixed marriages, Christian married to non
Yeah, there you go.
And I think that is telling. The Lord's not telling Paul to instruct the Corinthians in any way, shape, or form. And if you kind of follow it, it's like, well, if they leave, let them go. If they stay, be faithful.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. I'm not answering for the difficulties of divorce. I want to, and I would love to cover that at some point, but as Mike was saying, is there's more too. It's like if you're married to a non-believer and they're decided to depart, there's nothing you can do about it. And the question that Jan has, and that would be one of those, is like, well, then does that make me an adulterer for some reason for that person, non-believer? And I'd have to say, I want to submit that only marriages who were divinely put together when separated are ultimately under that context of divorce. That context of adultery. The rest of us have been living in adultery already, essentially, because we're either not connected to the person God wants us to be connected to, or we're wrongly connected to the wrong person. That's not God's design. And you say, well, if I can be connected to somebody, as long as I'm married, that negates adultery. It says, if you love the world, you're an adulterer. That's the reality. Like, the piece is, Jesus has to be the building block for the relationships and the connections that we have with one another. And truly, the church needs that. And I like how Lee was sharing earlier, is that it starts with the union we have with God and then moves beyond that. Everything else is like, you know, water under the bridge.
Well, Lee.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's a good way to say.
There's
an expert in the matter.
I want to have my own family and all of that stuff. And God's like, you got to stop making her an idol. She's not even there. She's an idol.
Yeah,
you know?
There you go.
And so it's like that idea of like being married to the Lord, that's where my heart needs to be before God even is going to consider bringing somebody into my life. And I think that's just kind of the way
good
that
word.
It all points back to like God and just listen to God and what he wants.
Yeah,
his brother.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And everything falls in its right place when we do follow the Lord in life. That's why, you know, most of the struggles that we go through is it's not answering a blanket statement. Somebody could say, you know, Pastor, it feels like, and some people would say this, like, I'm not as good of a Christian, or you've said something that makes me feel rotten or guilty. I'd be like, can't we all raise our hands to that? I mean, that's the reality. Like, we don't have to cover this subject. We can just cover any subject and be like, yeah, that's me. So essentially the guilt thing, it may or may not be felt strong and fresh to us. But the reality is the Lord has a redemptive plan for all of us if we'll seek him. We'll seek him through it. I love how the Lord restores. The Lord restores. Man, there's so many things that we could talk about that's like this hits the very core of things, and people have gone through it. We've had loved ones. You know, like for me with my mom, I remember she divorced my dad, and she ended up with other relationships, and it just crushed her. It crushed her because she never found the Lord in any of those relationships. And so the reality was, if she had continued with my dad, at least to live and stay with him, she would have been beaten to death, most likely. I would have begged for, and I believe that the Lord released her from being under his tyranny. Did he release her to go get married again? Not necessarily, because I could see what happened in those relationships. There wasn't the health and the plan and the design of God in any one of them. That's the scary thing, is when are we going to reverse the curse and get on track with Jesus one more time? And if we're already there, amazing. You know, like all of us have points of growth. And like, Lord, help me where I'm at in the moment. And I think that's where I want to go back to where we were saying, rightly divide the word of truth. Don't use the scripture the way the Holy Spirit is not instrumentally trying to get that into your life that way. We all have our own human capacity to take Bible verses and either make ourselves look way better, feel way better. It's a coping mechanism, the way we use our Bibles oftentimes, or we condemn ourselves half to death and we never even find the redemptive grace of God through it. And so important that we keep building on that, because I feel like ministries thrive when we don't just try to blanket scripture over things, and we really do seek for the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us in all truth. I got an amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. If there's anything that I said that doesn't sit quite right with you, please talk with me. This is a difficult subject. And I haven't covered all of them, and believe me, I don't have all the answers on this one. There's things that I'm like still wrestling with the Lord, like what would I do? But oftentimes I find myself in a situation, one individual at a time, and I'll pick out something else. This is not the problem here. It's something else. The Holy Spirit is trying to work with you on something else. This is just a sideline problem. And sometimes this is one of those, and other times it's something else. But that's why I think it's just really important that we just take the time, talk with me about it, because definitely there's things, I'll hear some stories, somebody will say to me, Pastor, what about this? And I'll be like, wow, I didn't even consider that. That hadn't even come to my mind. And of course, what you heard today sounded like that just went against the grain of what is the truth that the Lord would have for you in the moment. So we want you to land on the truth that the Lord has for you. And don't be surprised if I tell you I don't have a good answer for that in the moment. But I do know that the Lord, we can pray about this together and see where the Lord leads. Amen? Amen. Love my brothers and sisters. Thank you, guys. I want to close in prayer. And if there's anybody who feels just the Lord urging you toward prayer, you know, some of us, when it comes to this, there's been a deeply rooted pain. Can I just say that? There's a pain from the past, and it's like nothing's helped me through that yet. And this conversation, this sermon, if you want to call it that in the moment, Sunday school class, has brought to surface those things, and I need the Lord to touch me. I need His ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit to minister further to me. We want to give you an opportunity for that. And there's those of you who are like, I love my marriage, and I want to give God the thanks for it. And you could just say, Lord, this is a great time for me to thank you for leading me through Genesis chapter 2. We've become one flesh. We've stayed one flesh. And that's a blessing of the Lord. It's like very few and far between that can anything be said even remotely close to that. And some of you, your marriages are phenomenal. What you've been through together is amazing. Things that our marriage has never been through. And how you've loved one another through it, how you've complemented and stayed together. Some of you have said, I wanted that and I couldn't, but like the unbeliever that departed, I understand that. So, but at the same time, grateful for your not compromising the love of the Lord and to walk with Jesus in your life. So for any reason whatsoever, I just want to give an opportunity for you. If you want us to pray for you, we will. If you want to come and give God thanks, this is just that time we get to share in the moment together to do that. Isaac, if you'll play the music in the background, I'm going to pray and just look forward to what the Holy Spirit's going to do is restoring life.